You're listening to the Clear Creek Resources Podcast from Clear Creek Community Church, located in the Bay Area of Houston.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Clear Creek Resources Podcast. I'm Rachel Chester.
And I'm Ryan Leighton.
Thanks for joining us today. Our hope is that this podcast helps us to better connect with the people of Clear Creek and continue our conversation beyond our weekly worship services. So, Ryan, Father's Day is right here. What's the best way to celebrate Father's Day for you?
Well, for me,
you can't say wake up at 4:30 and bike and then start working at 8. That's not allowed. So, just so you know,
well,
you can't say that.
You know, going for a long bike ride would be a lot of fun. I don't know. I mean, some way. So, Lindsay and I, you know, with Father's Day, Mother's Day, we usually there's an aspect of just having a little bit of time to not be a dad, probably just to kind of relax and do my own thing, whether it is ride a bike or, you know, I don't know, just go find something fun to go do. But then we usually have some kind of dinner, and I like to cook dinner. So I mean, I'm more of the cook in the family. So
Ryan, you cannot say you wake up at 4:30 to exercise and you also cook.
I'm not.
No.
All right. Well, the point is we have a good, like some kind of barbecue grilling dinner that I cook myself, and that would be my ideal Father's Day.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
So you just sat down with Aaron and Eric, and you guys talked about what does fatherhood mean to you and what's it like to be a dad right now. Is that right?
Yeah. So Aaron Lutz, he's the campus pastor of our East 96 campus, and Eric Harding, the worship leader at West Campus. We just got to sit down and talk about dad life, what that looks like for us. What does it look like to lead your family well? What does it look like to walk in community and have your kids see that as you're walking with Jesus? We talked about work life. How do you balance your work with also leading your family well and spending time with them, lessons that we've learned along the way. And then at the end, we read off a bunch of dad jokes.
So, that is really funny. That's great.
So it's good.
That sounds awesome. That's going to be awesome. I can't wait to hear.
All right, Eric and Aaron, thanks for being on the podcast.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
All right. So we're talking about fatherhood, and you guys are dads. Let's just go through just so people or who are listening know. Eric, how many kids do you have?
So we have 7 kids. My wife, Glenn, and I have 7 kids. You want ages and stuff? if I can get through all their ages,
there's just
going to
be a list of numbers. And if you know it off the top of your head.
16, well, it's 16, 12, 11, 9, 9, 8, 8. We just had an 8 turn 9 the other day. So
that'll throw you off, man.
Yeah, so it's bigs and littles. So we have like the 16, 12, 11, that's the bigs, 9, 9, 8, 8, that's the littles.
All right, and Aaron, what about you?
Bethany, I have 3 kids, 6, 4, and 3, but they're about to change, like 7,
good,
5,
yeah.
and 3. So we have bigs and littles, too. Just the middle one becomes a big sometimes, and sometimes he's a little, depending on the situation.
Beauty of the middle kid.
Yeah, we got some of that, too. So our 3 kids, Lindsay and I, we've got a boy, or 2 boys and a girl. The oldest is a girl. She's 9, and then 7, 5, and then that 7-year-old in the middle, that boy, he can be either big or little, depending on who he's hanging out with.
Yeah.
All right, so what's something that you do now as a dad that you never imagined that you would be doing maybe when you were a younger man, but maybe before you were married or before you had kids?
Man, Glenn and I talk about this all the time. I only had one brother growing up. She only had one sister. And, like, we just never planned on, like, having a bunch of kids. So, like, it's a total mind shift to be, like, when I'm home, like, that's all I'm doing is, like, parenting.
Yeah.
So the idea that I would be, you know, I'm 43. The idea that I would be 43, have no hobbies, barely have any friends that I can keep up with other than people who also have a bunch of kids. Like, my best friend, they have 8 kids, so birds of a feather, et cetera. Yeah. But like, I thought at this age that I would be like, you know, like doing kayaking or something. I don't know. Or having a hobby. But it's like, my hobby is just parenting. Yeah. It's like just being a dad, being a husband. So it's kind of like, I don't know. So you got to kind of let your mind go there and go, this is it. This is what I do now. It's who I am.
And you're happy about it.
And I am happy about it. Like, it's, you know, like, is it any mindset? You get there and you're like, hey, this is actually pretty awesome. It's really fun.
Yeah. All right. What about you, Lutz? Like, sometimes when you're sitting thinking and you're like, man, dad life. Yeah. Never thought I'd be doing this.
Yeah. I mean, so two of my three are girls. So our oldest and youngest are girls. And so learning to do ponytails, we call it daddy ponytails. So I can do a little bit of hair. And I don't have a lot of hair to like practice on. So it's, you know, just trying to figure that out with my kids. So that, you know, girl stuff, tea parties, painting their fingernails. And then my son's in the middle. So we got, you know, guy stuff that we do. But I find myself watching TV shows that I never thought I'd watch. And then the kids leave the room and you're kind of stuck watching, you know, Baby Bum or whatever. It's on the TV. Like, why am I still watching this for the next 15 minutes?
It gets better when they get older because at least the shows have a plot.
Right, right.
Well, what's been fun lately is to start introducing my kids to shows that I used to watch as a kid, you know, especially with like Disney Plus, you're scrolling through there, you know, and you're like, we're going to watch this. And they're like, no, that's boring. You're like, you're going to sit down and you're going to watch this. This is a classic.
Guys, the Transformers, it's right in the title, More Than Meets the Eye. Yeah. Keep watching. Well, our kids are on DuckTales right now. The old DuckTales.
Yep.
The 1987 DuckTales is killer.
Yep.
That's awesome. All right. So how would you describe yourself as a dad?
Pointing at me like I gotta start. I think my kids was funny where I was leaving the house and my oldest daughter, she's my 12-year-old going on 20, and she was, I was like, hey, I'm fixing to go do a podcast about fatherhood. And I was like, how would you rate me on a scale of 1 to 10 as a dad? And she's like, well, that feels like a trick question. I'm like, life is a trick question. Answer it. She was like, 9? I'm like, here's $10. So like, I think.
So you're that kind of dad.
I'm kind of like, yeah, that wraps it up. I think I'm pretty fun with them. Like, I think like they would say that we're close for the most part. But you know, I think that I think I'm pretty transparent in front of them, I guess is what I'm saying. Just kind of going, hey, I will repent openly whenever like I totally lose my junk on them and yell, and like then I'll come back and be like, okay, sorry guys. I don't just sit there and be like, well, it's y'all's fault. It was their fault. But like I'm kind of willing to like openly kind of repent and be like transparent in front of them. And I want to kind of keep that so that they feel like we can always have open conversations. So, and I mean, all seven have different personalities. So it's like, one kid would answer one way, one kid would answer a different way. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
What about you?
I don't know how I'd define myself in that. I think I'm a pretty involved dad. You know, I think Bethany and I definitely split the responsibilities. It's not like I'm expecting her to do everything or her expecting me to do everything. I think there's a pretty good partnership in that. I think of the two of us, I'm probably more the disciplinarian, and Bethany is, you know, not as much that. She's the comforter, and I can kind of, you know, cause fear in my kids in time where they need to be, you know, fearful. And so that's probably somehow I define it.
Yeah, I relate to that. I think for us, we try to share some of the responsibilities. So, I mean, I would think our kids would view me as someone who is involved, has fun. But, yeah, I don't know if it is a dad thing or maybe it is a personality thing. But I feel like our kids and our dog probably listen to me more than my wife. And so it's probably a good thing because she can kind of snuggle up with them a little bit more. But yeah.
You're not the snuggler.
No, I am the snuggler too. I don't know. My kids probably think I'm like bipolar or something because like I, you know, it's like at one point I'd be like, you know, hey, we got to, you know, be strict about this. And then the other times I'm like fun. And so sometimes I do worry like, all right, does it feel like I'm running at these extremes where they're like, what? Is dad the fun dad right now?
Yeah,
is he
exactly
the one who like needs us to get something done right now? And,
well, you got to always be struggle. Both, yeah.
Yeah. All right, what's something that that you learned from your dad growing up or something that you saw in your own dad that you hope to pass it on to your own kids today?
My dad was, I mean, this dude has just got unbelievable amount of integrity. Mm. Just his yes was yes, his no is no, that's it. And there was no like, well, you know, like I wasn't gonna like manipulate him into doing something when he'd said it. It was like, that's it. And he was always willing to listen. I'm not saying that, but it's like, he was just the kind of person that like, I didn't have to wonder if some decision he'd made was going to come in and come back badly on our family or something. It's like, no, if he did it, then that was the right thing to do. And so it's like, I want my kids to have that kind of trust in me that if I've made, you know, some type of an adult decision, that they can know that they're safe in that. you know, and so I'm hoping that's something I can kind of grab onto.
Yeah.
But yeah.
My dad is a really good memory maker. Like, he like creates experiences to make memories with us as kids when we were growing up. And so I can think of several of those things. Like, my dad took me on a long baseball trip. We went to, drove all the way to Chicago, went and saw Wrigley Field and hit up several stadiums on the way. And it was just me and him for his 40th birthday. And like, I remember sitting in Wrigley Field and put his arm around me. He's like, I can't imagine being anywhere better for my 40th birthday. Like, and I remember that forever, yeah. Right? Mm. Or
interior.
Yeah, good Lord.
Jesus. So September 11th was my birthday. September 11th was my 16th birthday in 2001. And so in 2002, my dad was like, man, we're going to make this a better one. So he took me to like fly a helicopter over the city of Houston. It was like, this would be this cool experience, except there was a no-fly zone over the city of Houston because of 9/11. And so we flew over Baytown and all of the plants and stuff.
I'm surprised they let you fly over Baytown.
They did.
No, that's actually more explosive.
Yeah.
But with that, like, I've tried to do that with my kids. Like, I want to create cool experiences. So before I went to Africa a couple months ago, pre-COVID, it was like...
Pre-COVID.
Back in February. But I tried to take my kids on, like, one thing so that they'd have some cool memory before I left. So while I was gone for 2 weeks, it was like, yeah, my dad still loves me and we do cool things together. Awesome. So I want to continue to do stuff like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think one of the lessons I... remember from my dad, and this was, there's multiple stories of how I saw this flesh out, but just like a security in who you are as a person and not letting what other people think about you impact you. And so, you know, as a kid, you know, wanting the cool shoes that everybody else had and, you know, learning the lesson that like, it's not just about, you know, dressing a certain way so people think certain things about you. Or, you know, I was on a soccer team and this other soccer team that was kind of like, it was kind of like the Yankees where they would sort of like, you know, grab all the best players from the other team and try to like recruit them over. And like, you know, a lot of the parents and the other kids, like they wanted that. And so I got invited to join this team and basically like abandon my team. And my parents said no. And I was frustrated, like, because I was like, I get an opportunity to go play for this other team, and they're like, you know, you're not going to do that. So they're, you know, teaching loyalty, and anyway, I hope that, especially now, you know, my kids are getting to that age where they're wanting things that other people have, and, you know, it's not just about, you know, the finances of it and being a good steward, although that is a component, but some of it is just, you're not going to get wrapped up in your identity in being like other people, and so trying to teach them some of those things.
That's cool.
So you guys see your dads pretty regularly now. So what's it like now seeing your dad as a grandfather and knowing that like he's watching you be a dad to somebody else?
And my parents live like three quarters of a mile from my house. They're really involved. They watch our kids during small group, and my mom picks up my kids from, you know, daycare and that kind of stuff. But we see them a lot. And it's funny seeing my dad that I saw as like the strict disciplinarian growing up being like the softy that like won't tell my kids no, you know, like gives them every dessert, lets them do whatever, won't say no to them. And so just seeing that switch, but man, he loves my kids, loves to play with my kids. I see like a sillier, fun side of him with them than, you know, I remember as a young kid. I'm sure he did those things, but it's just fun to see him play that role with my kids.
Yeah.
Mine's kind of the opposite. It's funny. It's like my dad was so, well, because there's just like my brother and I, and then my brother was actually older than I was. And so a lot of my memories of him is he was just always super chill. And my brother like just kind of like read books all the time. And then that was like me, you know, so I was kind of pretty easygoing kid. So it's funny now is that you flip that because
you got seven
he's
kids.
Dealing with seven. So when my dad's there, it's more just like he's geared up, like he's back in Nam, let's do this. And like, so it's like I feel bad for him when he's got around about kids. Now, of course, we're in a better window. Just think like we've had our adopted kids since they were 2 and 3, and now they're 8 and 9. So that last 7 year window. 6 year window, you know, it's like a lot for my dad as like a granddad to try to like, but he's an awesome granddad. He really is. He's so fun with him. And the thing that he is like, he will find the kid who, maybe needs that one-on-one time. Mm-hmm. And he'll go in like, he will like whatever they want to do. I'm not great at the, whatever you want to do, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. So over the years, there's there's probably different lessons you're trying to teach your kid or different characteristics you're wanting to form in them as a person who's growing up. What are some of the character traits that you are currently seeing yourself bring up over and over again with some of your kids in the stage that they're in?
My kids are really young, so it's probably a lot different than Eric's kids, you know, all the way up to 16. So, you know, with my oldest being 6, I think when they're really, really young, you're trying to teach obedience, right? Mm-hmm. And so this sounds, you know, spiritual, probably more spiritual than it is, but we use like some of the language from our spiritual growth grid as a church. We use that language with our kids. And so like the idea of listening and obeying, like I want you to listen and obey me as your father, because I'd like, you know, I'm the one that God's given. I'm the king in this house. No. But in the same way that you listen and obey me is going to be a reflection of how you're going to listen and obey God. And so I want to teach you that rhythm. And so you're doing a lot of obedience stuff. Right now, my kids are moving into that season where they're fighting a lot. It's the summer, and so they're around each other a lot. And I'm like, but listen, this is what a family looks like. A family in the scriptures will love and serve each other. That's the way the church is supposed to. And so I want my kids to model that in our home. And so hey, what does it look like for you to serve your brother and not hog those Legos or whatever, you know, using some of that love and serve language?
If you were to ask the kids, because, you know, really that's what really matters. When it comes down to what can they regurgitate, you know, and it's like, our probably two biggest things that we, is that you are going to tell the truth. Mm. It doesn't matter what you did. If you will tell the truth, there's still going to be some kind of consequence. You can't be like, well, I stole $1,000 and I told you the truth, though. You know, it's like, well, what just happened? But you know, like that, for them just to be honest. Because if you have honest kids, the lines of communication are always open. When they're dishonest or when you can't trust what's coming out of their mouth, you can't have their back. And so it's like, dude, just be honest. You're going to tell me the truth. And so, like, we harp on that so much. And, like, the other big one is, like, just not talking back. Like, that, you know, if you are willing to listen and accept discipline, then I will give you a chance to talk. But it's, like, if I tell you something and the first thing out of your mouth is, like, bah, 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 think about how much time in a day that multiplies of just negative energy. Mm-hmm. Like, the negative energy between you and your kid if they're constantly talking back to you. So it's, like, it ain't happening. So those are two big character traits for us that we got to live into.
Yeah. What's something that you wish you would have known early on as a young dad? Or another way to answer that ask that question is, what's some advice that you would give to somebody who is a new dad or about to become a new dad, knowing what you know now?
I'll go first. Actually, this is one I kind of thought about a little bit, was I think that just kind of whatever, like, you've read, the things, like, we read all this stuff, right? Or we got advice from dads who are older, and, like, really do the things you've read about and really, like, put into action. Maybe, like, as a young parent, you're like, I really want to do this with my kids. I want to, like, build a system and do it from the beginning. Do the things. If you want to have certain rules about technology, don't wait until they've already all got technology in their hands to start figuring out some rule. It's way too late. Do it now. Come up with a plan and come up with some, like, things. Like, I love the idea of the spiritual growth grid. Because, like, if that works in the church, obviously it works in your family. Right. So then you post, you know, you write those words around your house. You put scripture in your house. You know, you put things into action from the beginning, even before they're old enough for it to make sense. Because that way you're never playing catch up. That's, like, definitely the biggest thing.
I think early on, I wish someone would have told me that, like, being a parent's really hard. Like, I just didn't really know that. I think, you see, like, the joy side of it. But it's hard. And I think I would tell young dads, like, every child you add into your home changes the dynamic in your home. Yeah. And yet your marriage is still the most important relationship in that home. And so I would say, like, mine and Bethany's relationship has changed with every kid we've added. And whether that takes away time or just energy, or, you know, we're spending more time co-parenting than being married, like, just fighting for time with your marriage. And so I think it was Mark Carden that told us, your relationship with God is eternal. It's going to last for eternity. Your relationship with your wife is a lifetime commitment. But the relationship you have with your kids is a temporary relationship of them being in your home. Like, there's a day where they're going to move out, but that relationship with your wife is going to still last beyond that. And so continue to invest there as you disciple your kids to be able to have a marriage that lasts a lifetime, that has a relationship with God that's eternal. And so just kind of keeping those priorities has been really important for us.
Yeah.
And I think it's like, definitely I've had people, young kids, people have young kids, and they're like, man, does this ever get easier? And I'm like, no, it just gets different.
Yeah, that's what everybody said.
It just gets different. And it's not easy, but it'll feel easier because it's different. And we're all wired to love certain ages more. I love teenagers. Mm. I've always loved teenagers since I was a teenager. Like, I've always worked in student ministry. Yeah. In as much as our student ministry lets me be involved and be around, I'm around. Yeah. I don't care because it's just freaking fun. They're so cool. And so Ryler, our oldest, being 16, and Everett, like, sliding, she'll be 13 then next month, month and a half. I can't wait. I just love it. It's just so, so cool. Glenna's dying, dying, because she just, like, she was an abnormal teenager as a teenager, so she never actually learned a teenager right. So it's like, having them is going to be just, it crushes her, and I'm just, like, on cloud nine. But the really young, tiny ages, I don't know how to play with little kids. Yeah. I'm not good with people's little kids. At all. Like, third grade, starting to hit a sweet spot. Like,
well, you move from physically exhausting to more emotionally exhausting.
Right.
Like, the conversations you're having are a lot more significant and more emotionally weighty, and the decisions that they're making as kids, as teenagers, could impact their entire life, not just the next, you know, few minutes with younger kids. And so I can relate to that. I look forward to the teenage years because I probably relate more to you in that.
Yeah.
Like, the young age is just difficult for me. It's physically exhausting. But the older they get, it just changes. Yeah.
So what's it like now that you have, you know, Ryler and Everett? I mean, so you love hanging out with the teenagers. Do they love hanging out with you? Like, do they
other people's teenagers?
No, I mean, like, you said, like,
I feel like they do, but yeah. I don't know.
I mean, like, no,
your
I mean,
kids,
do your own kids think, oh, hey, like, dad is still cool? Or are they now to the age where they're like, yeah,
sadly,
I wish he would not hang out so much.
Well, no, what's bad is, like, they do still think I'm cool right now. And so, like, I'm really trying to guard my heart because that day needs to come, and I'm fine with it, I say in words. But when it's like, okay, it's going to come, like, that day's going to come. Or, like, maybe Ryler and Everett will slide through their entire teenage years and still think that I'm cool and fun.
Do you feel like you need to slowly make yourself not as cool? Like, you got to start, like being a little, like, dorkier and, like, embarrassing them on purpose. Just
I don't
so
know.
Like, gosh, dad. And then
I try to, I think about this plenty because Ryler and I are actually very close. We're very good friends, but I will out loud, even though I don't need to in that moment, be like, I want you to know that I'm your dad before I'm your friend. I love our friendship, but, like, just know, you need to know that they're the authority, and the weight of my words carries past the fact that we love doing stuff together and hanging out, you know? And so, so keeping that in mind, I will verbally say that, even though there's been a few moments where the dad authority has dropped, I mean, plenty. And so that's there, but, like, I'm very cognizant. I took Everett and, like, a group of, like, five of her friends to go to Kima. This is right before the whole COVID thing. And, like, I could easily be the guy that's up there just yapping and talking to her and all of her friends the whole time. But I'm like, I've learned to kind of be like, drive the car. And when they engage with you, you can engage back. And so by the end of the night, it's like, they want me to take pictures with them, and it's fun, you know, but it's like, don't be the guy who's like, you're my girlfriend's dad. Like, gosh, he's so weird. He's always like being like in our conversations. Like, no, don't do that. Like, you know, that probably would be moms more than dads, I feel like, as far as, like, overstepping their bounds of kind of wanting to still be, like, the cool teen mom or whatever. I'm like, I don't feel that pressure. But right now, you let them draw you in. So young parents of younger kids, as your teenagers get there, allow them to let you in. Don't butt yourself in. Because also, I'm like, I DJ'd, like, Ryler's prom. Like, You know, so I'm trying to like kind of be like the quiet, cool DJ until they all come up and start like talking to me, you know? So it's like, just like, let the kids ask you in. Don't kick down doors and try to be cool, or you will not be cool so fast. It's bad.
Yeah. It's funny that you're a DJ.
Dude, it's the funnest thing.
There's so much there I want to talk about.
We'll do a podcast just about DJing soon. Whenever my new album drops, we'll do that.
All right. Nice.
Okay, cool.
Well, earlier you mentioned something about technology and media and all those things. Like, so how, and I know, yeah, you, Eric, you have kids at mm-hmm. every age. And then Aaron and I, we both have kids that are younger. How do you talk about sex and media consumption around like movies and TV, technology, drugs, all those things? I know there's a bunch of different topics in there, but maybe just talk about how you've already seen that pop up and those conversations that you have, and how do you lead those? Either one of you?
Nothing's off the table. And like we bring up all those topics first and foremost before they ever bring it up. We brought up the topic of sex, body parts, I mean, like all that stuff. We are going to be the first ones to put our vote in there. We'll be the first one to talk about it. And the dangers of technology, we will be the first one to put that in front of you, so that when it comes up, again, we don't want this to be an open conversation. We don't want them to trust us. We want them to tell us the truth about a struggle or a failure, any of that kind of stuff. And so that, you know, that's where it's at. And although, you mean, you listed a bunch of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk about my first, like, trying to have the talk with my oldest kid about sex, because he may someday listen to this, or someone he knows might, but I didn't do it right. So I just, you know, trying to make that a non-weird thing, you know. So like we kind of did wait long with him to start kind of talking about some of that stuff, and he was kind of naive to some of that stuff. And so having to play a little catch up with him, we learned way early, start the conversation.
How early would you suggest, like, give me an age?
Age 5.
Wow.
Just talking body parts,
yeah,
stuff like that. Sure. Start not talking about like necessarily about sex, but we with all of our kids by age 5-6, very clear about where babies come from, mm-hmm. and how it happens.
Yeah.
You know, so the latch is on the door, just, you know, but like,
you may have another one.
You may have another one. No, please, Jesus, no. But like, just having like real clear conversations about, you know, that this is something designed by God, like sex is something designed by God. It's between, you know, a mom and a dad. And, you know, so just getting into some of that stuff real early on, and even like just with this, the topic of homosexuality, like, mm-hmm. when they hear words tossed around and thrown around, and like, dude, it's on every single show. It's so present in society. Like, so just having like all my kids know about homosexuality, you know, and probably did since they were like 7. Mm. And only because it, again, you have to be the first word. If you're the first word on something, then now you've created the first, you're the first expert.
Yeah.
You're the first amount of information. And then as things come up, we bring that on. Where we have failed is technology. You know, I think not giving your kids unlimited access to like devices, I mean on time, like as far as the amount of time they're on devices. Honestly, for us, it was a numbers game. Hmm. I'm like, dude, you're not a problem if you're holding an iPad. So go be not a problem until I'm ready for you to be a problem again, you know, and especially when they were younger. And so trying to just now, like we've had to play catch up on that. And
y'all
so
have
now
a device in your home though, that like kind of manages some of that, right?
You we do
about that at one point.
Yeah. We've got this thing called the Disney Circle. And so, which it is totally like not working right now because so many devices got attached to it. People's friends would come over. And so then I lost track of whose devices are whose. There's like a list of like 50 devices on there.
You
and
can
like,
manage how much time
but
each
you,
device.
So can. Yeah, and you can do that through your cable provider. Will give you the opportunity to do that. If your kids have like an Xbox or something like that, it logs their time. It tells you. It takes work.
Yeah,
it is
to set it up.
Work to set it up. But once you've set it up, you are now in control of the consumption of media in your house.
Yeah.
And so then you can create boundaries. And so if they know clear boundaries, you give them clear boundaries. Like none of my kids have got any kind of internet access on any device in our house. only YouTube on TV in the living room kind of thing, you know, and because you just, you create doors, technology creates doors for things you do not want in your home immediately. And so, creating boundaries with them so that they never think, well, I used to have the internet on my phone and now my dad took it away. It's like, no, you never had the internet. I don't care what your friends have. You can get over that immediately. Like, I don't care. That's why, as every time, like, when one of my kids would be like, well, my friends have got this. I'm like, well, their parents don't love them. And it's kind of true. So
we've talked to our kids about, like, not everything on the internet is good. Not everything on YouTube is good. And so even as, like, a six-year-old, my daughter knows, like, there might be something out there. And so they have to kind of come check with us about what they're watching or how they watch. We have similar rules. Like, they can watch YouTube on their Kindles, but it's, like, in a public space. You're not going up to your room to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things they have out right now is, like, Facebook has an app for kids called Messenger that you can, as a parent, decide who you have that with, and you can read all the messages that come in and out. And so for my six-year-old who's just learning to, like, read and type and all those kind of things, we just have it limited to me and Bethany. So my daughter can text us because she sees adults text, and that's cool, but we've limited that just to our family for right now. But there'll be a day where we open that up to a small group of friends, and you open that circle a little bit wider and can manage that for them. I think an advantage that we have as parents, maybe over our parents, is that we are somewhat digital natives. Like, we've grown up around technology and have learned to manage that where our parents weren't. And so they're learning it as we're learning it as kids, and they just weren't able to maintain controls over technology the way that I think that we can now. And I think our kids will outpace us, and they'll get smarter and be able to figure out stuff. But at this point with my kids, we've been able to maintain some of those same parameters that you've talked about.
You got to, like, especially with the technology thing, and probably with any of those things, like, you got to just be willing to be the most uncool person on the face of the earth.
As,
like,
parents were saying.
Oh, yeah. We take all of our kids, like our two oldest, like, they have, they do have smartphones. So, like, Everett's is not connected to, it's not like, it's just like an iPod, basically. But she can text with, like, her group of friends, like what you're talking about. Not strangers or anything like that. And, like, we take them at night and we read them. And so I have texted some of Ryler's friends before and been like, not cool. You're not going to say that kind of stuff to my kid. And, you know, but the thing is, like, they know me because, again, I've tried to build, that's the other thing, build relationships with your kids' friends.
Yeah. And their kids' parents.
Yep.
Your kids' friends' absolutely. Parents. Because then you can have those conversations.
Have y'all gotten into a world of sleepovers?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit, but mainly with people, like, kids that we know really well. Right. I mean, they're close.
We know their parents
close,
really well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Being a little further down the road on some of that, our kid, I know for me, every wrong thing I saw or learned as a kid happened to me at a sleepover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, like, stuff that, like, took a long time in my life to, like, repair. Mm. So my kids will not go on a sleepover at a house that I do not, have not been to that house and know them. Yeah. You know, and, like, and I'm unapologetic about it. And, like, and I'm like, hey, well, if you'd like to go to that person's house, I guess we're going to know their family a lot better than we do now. Yeah. And I'll tell the parent too, and be like, it's not personal to you guys. We have not met y'all. We don't know y'all. What is it that needs to happen? Oh, why do you need to sleep at that house rather than just come back home? What is it that's going to happen in the amount of time that you're sleeping? Nothing good, you know. And you love your own bed. Sure. I've made it comfortable for you, so come home. Yeah. So just things like that. Being willing to get uncomfortable as a dad, with your kids, and, like, be uncool about your rules and just sticking to them.
And part of that gives you a chance to, like, a reason to have some conversation and friendship with people that you maybe normally wouldn't.
Yeah.
I think that's a benefit of, like, our daughter being in public school is, like, we're getting to meet a whole bunch of parents that we didn't have relationships with or connections with.
Yeah.
But because they're my kid's friend, it's like, we want to invest in that relationship so that my kids can have good friends and we can trust their parents. And that's all really good stuff too.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about drugs, but stay off drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Eric, earlier you mentioned that you don't have any hobbies, you don't have any friends, but you kind of said this joke. I mean, you do have friends. Like, how important are friends in the life of other men? You know, talking about your life specifically, but, I mean, why are friends with other men such an important part of being a man?
I've established some really good friends here, and friends that my kids are friends with their kids, but some just are just my friends. And I think it's healthy for my kids to see what friendship looks like as an adult. So, for example, my son is playing T-ball, and his one of his good friends, the dad, is coaching with me, and we're in small group together. So my son sees me and Tyler open the scriptures together. He sees us pray together. He sees us have conversation. He sees us work out. He sees us watch baseball together, and that, like, you can, you don't have to segment your friends to, like, your church friends and your workout friends and your separate friends, and that they're kind of well-rounded friendships. I think it's healthy for my son Evan to see, or my daughter Addie Jo, one of her good friends is a girl named Zoe, and her dad Derek is one of my really good friends, and so their family has three kids all about the same age as my three kids, and so it's just like this easy friendship. We really get along with Derek and Abby. Our kids really get along together, and so they can see us have fun together and laugh together and watch movies together and eat. And I think friendship is really, really healthy for our kids, to model it for our kids.
Yeah. I mean, same. It's the same kind of animal. I think that, you know, kind of the family that we've kind of been like family friends with is our friends at Saypaws. Like we all got married about the same time. Yeah. We all had our first kids the same time, second kids. They have eight. Actually, they have nine kids. They adopted one, an older girl who has actually now had, is married and has two other kids, so they're technically grandparents. So couldn't follow them on that game, but you know, so our kids all kind of like have locked in friendships, and so like we were talking about, like with Derek and Abby, and so that's been, that's kind of been that long term friendship that they do get to see modeled, and just the way that we'll talk to each other, the way that, you know, we interact with each other. We also just have a lot of community on our street.
Yeah, y'all do.
And so my kids get to see me interacting with other dads. They also get to see what different dads look like, which is cool. You know, so our kids get a very clear picture of what other parenting styles are. Every family on our street probably parents differently, a little bit. You know, I think they're, that we are lucky that they're all believers, and and so they do get to see how even Christian parents and Christian dads can look different in the lives of their own kids, and how every kid is different, you know? And so I think it's value. I love having those other dads around my kids too. I think that's been really good.
Yeah. I mean, I think it seems like, you know, I hear both of you talking about just the importance of community in your own lives, but even for your kids to be able to see, like, this is an unknowable part of being a follower of Jesus is, having other people in your life that you're sharing the scripture with, you're sharing your life with, and then you're also hanging out together. That isn't just like, oh, these are just our church friends, but these are people that we do life with, and we're really leaning on in good times and in hard times, and that's a big deal.
The gospel pervades all of it, right? Yeah. It's not just this segmented part of our life. I think we had a conversation about like Santa Claus at Christmas time, and how, you know, there's like, we almost segment to that time of year. It doesn't affect everything else, but like Jesus affects everything. It affects our friendships, and it affects the way we parent, and affects our schedule. And I think it's healthy.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about work, just because it seems like maybe men struggle to find their identity outside of their work, because it seems like what you do is, what you do for your job is like who you are as a person, is sort of the identity struggle that a lot of people have. And so both of you, I mean, granted, all three of us have different roles, you know, because we all serve at a church, but nonetheless, you know, they're busy. They pull you out of the home for, you know, extended periods during the day, like other jobs. So how do you balance being a dad and being someone who has a job, making yourself available to your kids?
Yeah, I intentionally take a day a week that I'm, you know, only going to spend with our kids. So, for example, like Ryan and I have Fridays off during the week because Sunday is a day that we're typically working. And so Fridays, we call it Dad Day. And so I'm spending a lot of time with my kids, you know, especially when they're out of school, and just hanging out with them, doing what they want to do, and getting stuff done around the house, mowing the yard, and keep my kids involved in stuff we're doing. But I think setting parameters around like meals, like, I'm not going to be away from our house five nights a week and not have my feet under the table to share a meal with my family and pray together. Putting kids to bed, you know, sometimes there's some weeks where we have stuff, you know, a lot, but I want to make sure that I'm home in time to put my kids to bed. Even if that means I'm jumping on a phone call afterwards, or have another meeting afterwards. But having like those kind of important table conversations, bedtime conversations with our kids, and then Fridays, making sure those are kind of days for them.
Yeah.
We have somewhat of a similar rhythm. having Friday off as well, which is super cool. That's we're really blessed that our church, gives us that. That is a really big deal.
Yeah.
And because ministry can seem very all encompassing, and so we have very specific verbiage about when I go to the office during the week, Dad is at work. We don't call Sunday work. Like, that is when we go to the church. I'm going earlier. I am on stage leading worship. But we definitely divide even in how we address what I'm doing. It's like, this is work. This is work hours. And so even during this, being home, Dad's working right now. He's in his office and he's working. He's doing stuff. Even if sometimes they can look through the glass doors and know that that's not work. What are you doing? I'm like, don't worry about it. It's all research.
Dad needs a break.
Research right now, okay? But like, you know, but when I come home, I go and I put my phone upstairs on the charge, just like, and I leave it, you know, and so that I'm not tempted to allow my mind to kind of, cause for me, it's, I can be present without being present. Mm-hmm, and sure. So trying to, when I come home, be present with them, be available and that kind of thing. And so they see that work hours have ended. And that I'm there with them. Another facet of it, though, is that I want my kids to be involved in my work because what my work is ministry. And so, whether it's working on music or some of that kind of stuff, I'll come and play them like a song I'm working on, or let them see what it takes to make something. Or there's times when they've just sat side stage with, you know, headphones on and listening to what Daddy hears in his ears whenever I'm leading worship, you know, things like that, so that they hopefully get a positive taste for what matters about my work. Yeah. You know, I think that helps. So it doesn't feel like this thing is a thing that takes me away and that Daddy works for Jesus and, you know, yeah, Jesus takes Dad away from home. It's like, no. We all work for Jesus and we're all part of that. And like, you know, it's just kind of involving them in the fun facets of that. And also, like, for them to, I remember a very specific conversation, really, when we were, we had a group of friends that were all young married together. And I remember this was so specific. Actually, the IHOP off Eager Bay right here, we were all sitting there one night. And this is, I think we may have had one kid, maybe not yet at all. But having this conversation with a friend of ours, the Ramseys, and they are actually now, they live in Louisville, and he is like a film director for Christian media. Like that one about Jeremy Camp just came out. He was one of the main dudes on that film. Like he, you know, he's a writer, all this stuff. And dude does it.
Cool.
Doing the thing. It's awesome, you know? But our conversation was like, man, I want to live a life in front of my kids that they see me chasing my dreams sacrificially sometimes in a way that matters, so that we don't perpetuate this thing of like, we grow up and we're always told, you know, whatever you can dream, you can be, you know, go out there and do something with your life. And then we get married and have kids. And then like, we just stop chasing our dreams. And then we tell our kids, hey, live your dream and chase your dream and be whatever you want to be. And then they do that till they become parents and they stop. And then that, you know, so it's like, it's a cycle of, or is anyone ever really fulfilling a life of calling? I want to fulfill my life of calling blatantly in front of my kids so that they do see you can be a parent, you can be a husband or wife, you can still chase your dreams and the things that you love to do. Like, I want them to see me chasing the things that I'm passionate about, and that God's called me to do, but still be a parent. And so that is a huge balancing act, and you got to fight for that big time.
Yeah. How would you apply that to someone who doesn't have a job at a church? Like this idea of calling or the idea of involving your kids in what you do, and so it doesn't feel like work is something that Daddy, you know, that pulls Daddy away or Daddy goes and does somewhere else. And yeah, you know, I think, you know, it's funny. I think about like as a kid, I mean, I knew who my dad worked for, but I couldn't tell you what he ever did. And just because, I mean, as a kid, you just can't even, you know, understand it. But, you know, For the men who are out there who don't have a job out of the church, how would you encourage them to involve their kids in what they do and talk about calling?
Yeah, I think for some people, their vocation is their passion, and they're pursuing something of significance that, you know, outside of ministry, that is really making a significant difference in the world. So I think about, you know, my brother-in-law is a doctor. I mean, that's a very specific calling in his life. It's like, I'm doing this because God's called me to do this. I want to help bring healing to people. You know, and other people, their vocation gives them opportunities to pursue a calling that's outside of their job. And so some people are like, you know what, this provides the finances so that I can be involved with my kids in a way that I want to, or I can volunteer in this way, or I can be involved in the church in this way, or it gives flexibility to be able to lead a small group or to, you know, do all kinds of different things that are part of the church. But having a kingdom mindset about your vocation, whether it's part of your calling or whether it allows you to really pursue your calling. But either way, your job isn't your identity in that. And so my first and foremost identity isn't a pastor. My brother-in-law's first and foremost identity isn't a doctor. We're followers of Jesus that do those things because God has called us to them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
I got nothing to add to that. That was awesome.
All right. So, hey, I want to end with some dad jokes. So I've given you guys some dad jokes that I want you to read off. We got eight dad jokes here. And so you're just going to go one by one. So for those of you who are listening, they haven't seen them yet. They're not like dirty dad jokes. But I would hope not.
I wanted them to
see it as you guys are hearing it. So
these like meme tweets. Are we reading things like from Twitter about yeah.
these
us
are things? About
no,
us.
That would be funny though if I like changed it on and they weren't dad jokes. They're just yeah. But no, these are real dad jokes. So right. The top eight dad jokes that I could find. Ooh. Aaron, go first.
All right, here we go. Hey Eric, how do you organize a space party?
I don't know.
You plan it. There's one.
All right. Hey, Ryan, did you know that milk is the fastest liquid on Earth? It's pasteurized before you even see it.
Pasteurized.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I didn't even catch that. That's how lame that was.
All right. Here's the next one. What does a baby computer call his father? Data.
Yep. Oh, wow. How do you make a Kleenex dance?
Oh, this is my daughter's favorite joke in the whole world.
Aw, that's kind of sweet because this is pretty lame. Yeah, you put a little boogie in it. Dude, kids will laugh at this stuff.
Kids will tell jokes, but they never wait for like the proper timing, right? It's just like ask the question, immediately answer. You know, yeah. That's your favorite one, though. Here's the next one. Why didn't the melons get married? Because they cantaloupe.
Elope.
Man, Ryan, you did a great job picking these jokes, man.
Yeah, these are lame.
These are dad jokes.
They are, man. This is what makes it great. What kind of egg did the evil chicken lay?
A deviled egg.
Nice. All right, here's my last one. Ryan, what do you call a fake noodle?
I don't know.
An impasta. That's a good one, man. I like that one.
I'm gonna do all my these. I'm gonna make my kids sit through these when I get home. Like everyone sit on the couch right now. Get on the couch. That's where like when dad's like got something to say. I'm like couch. I just yell couch and they all go in. Like, were you in trouble? I'm like, what do you think? So I'm gonna do that.
Dad jokes for you. Here I've got you
some
go.
Dad jokes for you. You're gonna sit through these and laugh. My last one. I like this one. Why does Snoop Dogg always carry an umbrella for drizzle?
That's a good one. I'm glad Eric got that one.
Awesome.
That's quality.
That's a DJ joke.
That is a DJ joke. Oh, man. Throw that into my DJ night shift with some dad jokes for you.
That's awesome. Mm. All right, Eric and Aaron, thanks for being here talking about fatherhood.
Yeah, man. Thanks for letting us come on.
That was cool.
Yeah. Well, those of you who are listening, thanks for checking out Clear Creek Resources. I hope our conversation just gave you some encouragement. For those of you who are dads out there doing the dad life, I hope you had a good Father's Day. If you haven't yet, make sure that you subscribe to the Clear Creek Resources podcast wherever you listen so you don't miss any of our weekly episodes. Hey, also check out clearcreekresources.org where we have a host of articles and videos, books, and sermons. We'd love for you to check those out. All right, that's it. Thanks for listening. I'm Ryan Layton, and we'll see you next week.